Good morning. This morning we're going to spend just a few minutes talking about how to pick raspberries. The Bible is full of references to farming, to planting and growing and harvesting. The Old Testament is full of allusions to various aspects of agriculture. The New Testament writers include several comparisons of spiritual matters to planting seeds, watering, and reaping a harvest. Over 50 verses in the New Testament mention fruit, for instance. Jesus preached several parables centered around these ideas of the process by which crops are produced and harvested. One of the things that my family has enjoyed about our little plot of land since we moved a couple of years ago is the patches of black raspberries that are on our property. Each year in the early summer, we have a few days where we get to go out to the raspberry patch and harvest our crop of raspberries. Many different types of crops are used in biblical illustrations that we mentioned, but this morning I want to make some spiritual applications to the act of raspberry picking. We're familiar probably with Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 and 2 that says, "For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted." One of the most basic applications that I want to mention is that our raspberries do not pick themselves. Fortunately, there is no planting process that is needed for us. These plants already existed and actually spread out on their own. When it comes time, when that fruit has matured, it needs to be picked. Full disclosure, Crystal does most of our picking. But we all get involved and help out. But if we want to enjoy some black raspberry pie, or black raspberry ice cream, or jam, or compote, or even fresh berries, or any other of these delicious things, and I apologize if you skipped breakfast this morning, but to enjoy these things, we have to put the work in to pick the berries. We have to walk out into the raspberry patch, container in hand, and start looking for the ripe black raspberries and pick them. If we just look at the raspberry patch from our window, the birds may enjoy the fruits of our land, but we will not. Going out and picking these berries is not difficult. Sure, there may be heat from the summer sun. There may be some thorns to dodge. There may be some strategy involved to maneuvering to the inner parts of the patch, but it's not exactly hard work. But the work still needs done. And since this is my parable, I can make whatever applications and explanation I wish. But in this analogy, we're going to consider this morning the harvesters, the pickers, are you and I as Christians. The raspberries could be a number of things, but the primary application I want us to consider is these berries being spiritual opportunities. It could be opportunities for our own individual spiritual growth. It could be opportunities to learn something new from God's word. Each berry we pick is some new juicy morsel of knowledge or wisdom that we've added to our spiritual mind. It could be opportunities to do some good work. We had a series of lessons on good works not too long ago, and we can consider each berry we pick some opportunity to do good to our fellow man that we capitalize upon. It could be opportunities to share the gospel with someone. Each berry that we harvest could be a soul that we've taken the time to give our attention to and invited to learn more about the Lord that we serve. So picture these berries in your life. For any of us to grow spiritually, to be agents of good, to be proclaimers of God's good news, we have to look for the berries, for the opportunities. Galatians 6:10 says, "So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, especially to those who are in the household of faith." We have to walk around in the raspberry patch of our lives with eyes looking for opportunities and a desire and goal to pick as many good opportunities as we can. If we keep our eyes closed or refuse to actually look for and grab the opportunities around us, our spiritual containers will not be full of fruit, but empty. When you are picking berries, not all of the fruit on the plant is fit to be picked. Some berries are not yet ripe. Just like some opportunities we may see are not wise to grab at least yet. It is important when picking black raspberries that every day you're in the patch and harvesting the ripe berries. Because it doesn't take long, and those raspberries turn from ripe, ready for the picking fruit, to rotten, inedible globs. If we take a day or two off, the job of picking the berries just got more complicated. Now, as we walk through the patch, we find it harder to locate the berries ripe for picking because amongst them are rotten berries too far gone to be of any good. We're in the habit of, in our lives, of neglecting to take advantage of the opportunities around us. It can make it harder to start picking again. We see the wasted opportunities in our lives, and they can distract us from those that are still around us and whose time is ripe. Ripe opportunities are always there, and we have to be diligent to look for them, even when we've been a bit lazy and put some obstacles in our way. There are people we may no longer be able to reach, but there are always more that we still can. There is time gone that could have been spent growing in our knowledge, but there is still time for learning ahead. As we continue this metaphor or parable, I want to consider how we find all of the opportunities that are present in our lives. Once we make the decision to be a picker, to be in the patch and commit to actually grabbing the spiritual opportunities we find, how do we find all of them? When we first walk into our raspberry patch during the harvest, there are ripe raspberries everywhere. You spend a few minutes picking an area and look around and get to where it's difficult to see any more berries that need picking. You may be tempted to think, I've picked all of the berries in this area. I'm done. But, of course, raspberries are not the only thing growing on the raspberry bush. There are leaves growing all over the plant, too. And those leaves can block your vision of many of the berries. If you just stand in one spot, you can see many berries. Just like at first, it can be easy to see many opportunities in our lives. But we quickly come to the point where we struggle to see more opportunities. We may think that we've harvested all of the good, ripe opportunities that there are and just need to sit back and wait a while for some new ones to ripen. What we actually need to do, though, is to simply shift our perspective. We need to change our point of view. If we move our head from side to side or stand someplace else, suddenly many more ripe raspberries come into view. Spiritually, we have to make sure that we do not get tunnel vision. What do I mean by that? Well, as we think about different opportunities that we may encounter, that could take many forms. Consider our knowledge of God's wisdom as he has revealed it to us. Let's consider the passage Ephesians chapter 3, verses 7 through 10, as we think about changing our perspective and gaining spiritual knowledge. Ephesians chapter 3, beginning in verse 7, says, this is Paul writing to the Ephesians, of this gospel I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given me by the working of his power. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God, who created all things, so that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. In this passage, Paul said he was to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. Just like the berries in the bushes, there are seemingly more and more and more to find the more you keep looking. Yes, we will eventually exhaust all of the ripe berries there are to harvest, but when we search God's word, we will never find everything there is to find. Paul goes on to say that the gift he was given so that you and I, the church, might make known the manifold wisdom of God. That word manifold means much varied or manifesting itself in a great variety of forms. If we always look at God's word from the same perspective, we will not learn nearly as much as if we challenge ourselves to think about it in new ways. We have to make an effort to not always view familiar passages and ideas only in the way that we have always heard them explained and stop there. Sometimes we even need to weigh ideas that we are pretty certain that we disagree with, but we genuinely listen to these other perspectives on Scripture, even if only to strengthen our conviction and understanding of what we believe and why we believe it. When we are able to have a spiritual discussion with somebody that does not share all of our beliefs, we have to be willing to listen and ponder before we immediately jump in with our pat response. Proverbs 18:13 tells us, if one gives an answer before he hears, it is his folly and shame. Yes, we have to be careful, but if we refuse to even read or think about ideas that challenge the traditional way of looking at scriptural matters, our growth will be limited, and we run the danger of not making our faith our own, but simply following the traditions of those that came before us blindly. We are not becoming the deep, searching Christians that God desires us to be, and our shallow faith will only take us so far. Or consider looking for candidates to evangelize, to invite into a spiritual conversation, or even perhaps to invite to church. How do we find those individuals? Some will be obvious, but for others, the best way to discover them is to change our perspective. If the only people that we spend any time with are other Christians, how will we ever reach the lost? Certainly, we need to take care not to be overcome by evil, but we are to overcome evil with good. In our Wednesday class, we recently discussed Matthew's feast for Jesus, after which Jesus was criticized for eating with tax collectors and sinners. We are not as strong as Jesus was, but his point that the sick need a physician isn't without application to us today. Jesus is our example, and we see numerous examples of him not withdrawing himself from people dealing with all sorts of problems, but being surrounded by them and moved with compassion for them. We have sick all around us. The world around is full of the sick that we can introduce to Jesus. Yes, bad company corrupts good morals, and we have to be people that are committed to being positive influences of good, or we will be corrupted. But we also cannot simply avoid the world altogether for fear of being corrupted, because that attitude keeps us from being who God wants us to be as well. We are not of this world, but we must live in this world and engage with the people of this world to bring them to Christ. Jesus shifted his perspective and rubbed elbows with us, sinful mankind, in the hopes of saving us. 2 Corinthians 8:9, it says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, by his poverty, might become rich. We must be willing to do the same for others. When looking for opportunities to do good in other ways, shifting our perspective is vital to finding good works that can be done. We shift our perspective by putting ourselves in the shoes of others. We try to see the world through the eyes of someone with different experiences than we have had. What challenges would the person that doesn't have a Christian family to lean on have? What about those that don't have any family nearby? What about those that don't have the measure of health that I'm used to having? Or that don't have the financial health that I take for granted? Or that do not have the free time that I have? Simply by taking part in these mental exercises, we can shift our point of view. When we genuinely get to know other individuals, whether fellow Christians or those who we just talked about in the world, we are changing our perspective. When we have meaningful conversations, not just pleasantries on the way out the door, we can discover clusters of opportunities to do some good in this world. In all of these ways, we have to be willing and diligent to shift our perspective occasionally to make sure we are finding all of the opportunities that are nearby. One final lesson for us to consider. When picking raspberries, at first, sitting above all of the leaves, are many berries ripe for the picking. But some, like we discussed, require us to change our perspective. We may move to the left, to the right, back, turn our head, lean in. But even still, after doing all of that, there are more berries to be found. How are these last berries discovered? They're discovered by changing our perspective, but not by moving from side to side. They're discovered by kneeling down, by lowering ourselves, and looking up from below. Many of the berries will be hanging out below leaves or toward the bottom of the bush, and unless we get down on the ground, we will not see them. This is a great job for the kids because they have eyes that are looking up as much as down as they walk through the patch. As Christians, we have to look at this world through these childlike eyes, with humble eyes and spirits that are down on our knees in the dirt. Once again, we can simply look at Jesus as the perfect example of how this is done. There are many passages that call on us to be humble Christians, but one of the best illustrations is found in Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2 begins, "So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." To truly find all of the opportunities that exist around us, we must be willing to come down off of whatever pedestal we think we belong on and get busy finding others to serve. Jesus condescended by coming to this earth. Romans 12:16 says in the King James Version, "Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits." Just like Jesus left heaven to serve others, we need to leave any pride that we have behind. The ESV translates that verse, "Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight." That phrase, "associate with the lowly," may mean what is translated in most translations, how we interact with all people, including those that may be considered lower than us by some standard, whether that be wealth or social standing or education or whatever standard you want to apply. But it can also mean give yourself to humble tasks. We should be willing to get down on our knees to pick the last of the black raspberries. We should be willing to get down on our knees to scrub the bathroom floor. We should be willing to do those things that need done, just as we see Jesus demonstrate when he washed the feet of his disciples. Unless we humble ourselves, we will not be effective followers of Christ. We will not learn all of the spiritual lessons God has delivered to us if we are too proud to receive them. We will not notice souls that need the gospel. We either will not rub shoulders with them or not see them as potential Christians. We will fail to see good works ripe for the picking because we are not willing to swallow our pride and get down to a place where we see them. How do you successfully harvest a patch of raspberries? How do we, as Christians, take hold of as many opportunities as we can as we walk through the raspberry patch of life? How do we find and seize opportunities to grow in spiritual knowledge and wisdom, to do good to our neighbors, friends, family, co-workers, classmates, and brothers and sisters in Christ, to share the good news of Christ, our story of redemption, with those that need to hear it? We must get to work, first of all. We must decide that we are going to look and that we are going to pick. We must set our mind on the picking, and we must strive to be constant in it, not taking days off and letting the opportunities go to waste and turn to mush. We have to go further, though, and not just settle for the opportunities that are in plain sight. That's a good place to start, but God expects us to excel still more, to dig deeper, to keep searching. To do that, we need to change our perspective. We need to challenge ourselves in our study of God's Word, not taking others' word for what it says, but searching ourselves and meditating upon it and defending it. We cannot isolate ourselves from those in the world who need our help, but search for them and see them and rub shoulders with them. We need to learn to empathize with the struggles of others so that opportunities for good reveal themselves. And we need to lower ourselves to a position of humility, of service, to find even more. We can learn much more about God's Word when we drop our own pride in the ways we approach it, letting it condemn us when it needs to. We can open doors for evangelism when we first show people that we care and that we are willing to serve them. And we can find so much more to do when we reject the idea that certain tasks are below us. Appreciate everyone's attention during this lesson very much. I had to get a Barry joke in before I finished. Hopefully, we've been able to be reminded of some things from this parable that will help us in our spiritual walks. As we work to grow individually as followers of Christ, and as we work as a congregation to grow and build one another up and to help our community. To this end, let us go to God in a word of prayer before we begin our Bible class period. Our most righteous Heavenly Father, Father, we're so thankful for all you've done for us, Father. We're thankful that you've given us abilities, that you've given us tools that we can gain by studying from your word, by seeing the wisdom that you reveal to us in so many ways, Father. We pray that you would give us hearts that are continuing to search your word, Father, that are continuing to grow and to learn and to delve deeply into the unsearchable riches of your wisdom. Father, we pray that you help us to take advantage of all the opportunities that are around us in life. Father, we pray that you help us to see the good works that need done around us, Father, that we see people that we can serve and we take advantage of those opportunities, Father. Father, pray that you help us approach this life with a humble spirit. Father, we pray that you help us to have compassion on the lost that are all around us in this world. Father, that we'll seek out opportunities to introduce them to you. Father, that we'll won't prejudge, but as we encounter various individuals in this life, that we'll take the opportunity to point them to you. Father, we'll leave the rest up to you, but Father, just give us the courage to see and take those opportunities, Father, and not assume the result. Again, Father, thank you so much for the spiritual blessings you give us. Pray that you help us to not waste them, but take full advantage of those things that you've given us. And Father, we're so thankful that you've given us your example of your Son, Jesus, that we can look to him, we can search your word for how he lived this life and the things that he did. And Father, that we can follow his example as much as we can, that we can humble ourselves, Father, that we can have compassion on others, that we can use your word and defend it, Father, and even, Father, to challenge other thoughts, Father, and be able to point to your word as we saw Jesus do when he was tempted. Again, Father, thank you for everything you've done for us. Be with us now through the rest of our morning. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. We're now dismissed to our classes.